Blog Talk Radio.
From the pits to the stands, from the drivers to the fans, it's time for Race Fans Rock with your host, Infield Chin.
Hey there, race fans. You know what time it is. It's time for Race Fans Rock Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Infield Jen, and I'm ready to kick off the show. Now, a little preview of what you can expect tonight on the show. I'll be speaking with my dedicated fan in the stand reporter from Michigan International Speedway, Sean Osmond. He had a great time. He's a huge fan of the sport, and he was the best person to be my eyes and ears at the track this past weekend. You'll hear all about it in just a few minutes, but first, I hope everyone listening had a great week. I know I did. It really was a lot of fun, actually. Now, I love to do different things in this sport and, you know, and then talking to you all about it, which, you know, is what I'm about to do right now. Okay, so this past weekend, I got to see what it was like for the crew members who handle a team's show car, you know, and what they go through and to do an event, you know. So first off, you know, I got to tell you, they put in a lot of long hours and they deal with a lot of race fans. And they have to have, you know, they have a really big responsibility to make sure that the show car is well taken care of. Just to get it to the event is a task because, you know, you're driving a truck and trailer or maybe even sometimes a hauler, you know, which is big, you know, and you usually have to fit it in small spaces to unload. And that was the case this weekend. Brian and I drove his brother Brad's number 2 Miller Genuine Draft show car, which is actually a race car. It's a real race car, and it's got all the bells and whistles. We had to take it to Royal Oak, Michigan for the Woodward Dream Cruise event. Now, the car was actually one of Brad's ride-along cars from his Checkered Flag Foundations, and it was a 2-seater race car. Now, the reason that they needed this particular car for the event was because both Brad and Rusty Wallace were going to do a hot lap down Woodward Avenue from a bar called Dugan's Irish Pub to another bar a few miles down the road, on the same street, actually, and it was called the Blarney Stone. It was actually a tribute to Rusty, who also celebrated his birthday this weekend as well. So the event was to take place on Thursday afternoon in the evening. So we get to Dugan's Irish Pub around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was tight finding a place to unload the truck and trailer. But thankfully, with the help of the security and the valet team, you know, they made room for us, and we got the car unloaded, and then they had actually stopped traffic on Woodward Avenue, which is a really busy street. So we had some room to roll the car into the place where it needed to go. So we put that all up there, and it stayed there until Brad and Rusty showed up around 7:30 that night. So, okay, all was well with the car, and the car was set up, and people were taking pictures of the car and, you know, asking Brian and I questions about it, you know. So it was a lot of fan interaction, you know. And I volunteered to help quite a few fans take some pictures with their of their loved ones, you know, with the car and all that. But the main thing, you know, is to try to, you know, continue being nice to these people when, you know, letting them know that they can't get inside that car and, you know, they can't put their kids in there. It was pretty tough. But, you know, especially, like I said, this is a real race car with all the bells and whistles. So, you know, we definitely didn't need anybody getting in there and kind of knocking some things around. But Brian actually had to prime the car and get the oil in it hot and, you know, get it ready to be fired off a little while before the guy showed up, you know, because he had to get it ready. So just like, you know, basically just like we do with the race cars on the track, you know, you just can't hit the switch and start them up. It'll never work. There's a whole process that you have to go through to get the race car ready to go. So once the oil is hot, you know, and the car was primed, you're good to go and the car is going to fire up. So we did all that. And the really cool thing was I got to actually hit the 2 switches to get that car fired off. And that was pretty cool. I never actually got to do that before. So it was pretty cool to feel the car like come to life at the tip of my fingertips. It might sound crazy, but it was pretty cool. And actually the crowd went nuts, which was also pretty cool to hear. So Brian revved the engine from under the hood, and, you know, when he felt it was enough and the car was good to go, you know, we shut it down and we waited for, you know, Rusty and Brad to show up. And once they did, you know, they had an appearance inside the bar. They gave away free Miller Genuine Draft to fans inside. They signed some autographs, took pictures. And they came outside where the car was waiting for them. And they all shook hands with the police that were about to escort them down the street. And actually, Brad was supposed to drive the car, but he felt it would be more appropriate if Rusty got in the hot seat and took the wheel for this one, which he did, and he had a huge smile on his face. It was really cool to see. I actually took a video of it, and it's posted on my social media, so if you haven't seen it, go check that out. Well, once they left Dugan's Irish Pub, we all hopped in our truck and we followed them down to the next bar, the Blarney Stone. We parked the truck and went over to where they were. And they were outside. By the time we got there, they were already outside talking to fans, signing autographs, taking pictures. And then all of a sudden, they let one of the cops that had escorted them, they let him get into the race car on the driver's side. He got in it with no problem. He looked around, you know, inside and got comfortable. He posted pictures that his fellow officers were taking. And then when it was time for him to get out, he got stuck. He got stuck in a big way. I'm not talking about being confused on how to get out of the car. He got stuck. No matter which way he moved, he couldn't get out of this car to save his life. The other officers, they were laughing their asses off at him, and so was the crowd that was there. It was really, really funny. And he was getting really frustrated, and the more he realized that he couldn't get out of this thing, the more frustrated he got. I, of course, was videotaping the entire thing. Finally, Brad, Rusty, and Brian went over to try to help him get out of the car, you know. And after giving him some pointers on where to put his feet and how to turn his body, you know, they managed to help him twist, and they literally pulled him out of that car. When he finally did get out of the car, it looked like he'd been running a marathon. He was exhausted, and the crowd cheered, and everybody laughed hysterical. I mean, some of the other officers were laughing so hard they had tears running down their faces, and they couldn't breathe. It was really funny. Now, I'm telling you, if you want to laugh as hard as those officers did, you've got to go and watch that video I posted. It's on my Facebook pages, and it's on YouTube. It's got something like over 35,000 views or something like that. It's crazy. I can't believe how much attention it's gotten. But it was shared by like something like 200 people shared it off just my Facebook page alone. It's crazy. Now I really feel bad for the officer, and I hope he doesn't see the video and give me a call about it, you know? Oh, God. So anyway, yeah, so that's all the good stuff that happened. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. You can find my YouTube channel under Infield Jen. It should be the first video on top, and make sure, you know, subscribe to my channel. I don't post too many videos up there, but, you know, I'm going to try to do some more of it. So, you know, check it out. That would be appreciated. So, yeah, so after everyone cleared out of the Blarney Stone, we loaded up the car back into the trailer, and we headed, you know, to a hotel not too far away and called it a night. And since this was Brian's old neck of the woods, so to speak, you know, he knew the area really well, and it was pretty cool that we didn't really need the GPS for much. Anyhow, the next day we were pretty early to get that show car to its next destination by the Ford display, where it sat for all of Friday and Saturday. And the cool thing was, since they had 24-hour security and stanchions around the car, you know, we actually didn't have to sit there and babysit it. So that was cool. However, if they didn't have that, you know, we would have had to stay there at all times to make sure that, you know, no one did anything silly with the car. But we were in luck, and, you know, we didn't have to stay, which gave Brian the time he needed to go visit some of his family members who, you know, he hasn't seen in a while and get all caught up. And it was really nice. It was a cool day. On Friday night, we went over to Toledo Speedway to watch the late model races, and that was a lot of fun because, you know, he knew a lot of people there as well. And it was kind of like a reunion for him with a lot of the guys he used to race against and work with when, you know, he raced at that track. So it was a fun night. The racing was really good, and it was my first time there, so I got to cross that track off my bucket list, which I love doing that. Dakota Carlson in the number 8 won the race, and shortly after that, you know, we made our way back to the hotel. Brian saw more of his family the next day, and around 9 o'clock p.m., we picked up the car from the Ford display and started to make the long trip home. My God, it's such a long trip. But the whole reason that we went up there was for that Woodward Dream Cruise. And, you know, if you don't know what that is, what that's all about, you know, don't feel bad because I had never heard of it either until this weekend. But from what I hear, it's a really big thing and it's a really big deal to go to. I can't tell you how many people were there. There were tons of people lined up along the sides of the roads, all along like 5 or 6 mile stretch of Woodward Avenue in Royal Oak, Michigan. And people from all around the United States actually make this trip there to either see it or be a part of it. Now, many people with, like, really old cars that were restored to, like, pristine condition, they attend this event, and they drive up and back showing off their cars and, you know, talking with other people about, you know, their cars. And, you know, even people that have the newer cars that have, like, really badass Mustangs, Camaros. Well, I mean, it was all kinds of cool and neat-looking cars just literally cruising back and forth along the street all day and all night long. I had a blast watching these cars, you know, from the past. I mean, you very rarely get to see them come to life in front of your eyes, you know. So it was really, really cool. And if you've never ever been to the Woodward Dream Cruise, definitely put it on your bucket list and check it out, especially if you're an old car lover. You will definitely enjoy the show, and it lasts all week. So go check it out. They have a website. It's www.woodwarddreamcruise.com. And another thing that I noticed was that there were a lot of those nice-looking restored cars up for sale. So if you ever wanted to own a car like that, you know, that's a great place to go to pick yourself up one of them. So, you know, you can cruise down the street with it next year. So, yeah, let's check that out. It's www.woodwardcruise.com. All right, so all the while, you know, while everything was heating up in Royal Oak, Michigan, you know, it was a lot hotter in Brooklyn, Michigan, where the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Camping World Truck Series guys and girls were. Kyle Busch went on to take the win for the truck race, and it was Matt Kenseth who took it home in the Sprint Cup Series to Joe Gibbs Racing. That organization is on fire. My God, I mean, that's awesome. Good for them. And then all the way out in mid-Ohio at the sports car course, you found the NASCAR Xfinity Series tearing it up on the road course for the second week in a row. And it was Regan Smith and the number 7 Junior Motorsports Chevy that scored the win. In other news today, you know, the big announcement was that Danica Patrick has landed another primary sponsor for 2016 and beyond with Nature's Bakery. It's a fig snack kind of company. My thing is, I just don't understand how so many people thought that she wouldn't land a new sponsor and this was it. This was going to do her in. I mean, come on. She is a gold mine when it comes to marketing and promoting her sponsors. She has had a big part in making GoDaddy as successful as it became. And now, thanks to her and Motorsports Marketing, they're ready to go international. I mean, anyone out there who thinks that she can't do it again for another company is crazy. And to all those who said that this was it, that's it, that she's done, I think you're the crazy ones if you can't see what she can accomplish for any company that partners with her. Now, regardless of her performance on the track, you know, she may not be the only woman to have been, you know, in racing, but she is by far, like, the most successful and the most well-known out of any other woman driver in NASCAR of all time. So I say congratulations to Nature's Bakery on their new partnership with her, and it's not going to be long before Nature's Bakery is a household name across America. So good for you guys. Starting on Wednesday night with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series and the NASCAR Wheel and Modify Tour, followed by some Friday and Saturday night racing between the NASCAR Xfinity and Sprint Cup Series. And we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show, but now it's time for me to get my awesome guest on the line. I want to welcome my dedicated fan in the stands reporter from Michigan International Speedway, Sean Osmond, to the show. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for doing everything that you've done for me this weekend. So welcome to Race Fans Rock. Now,
excellent.
I want to take it back from the beginning because I always try to do that with all my dedicated fans and reporters. I try to, you know, we talk about how they became race fans and what they're doing now. So when did you actually become a NASCAR race fan?
I would say the first race I went to was in 1996 at Michigan Speedway. Went with a friend of mine and his dad, and pretty much been hooked ever since then. Before that, used to go out to our local track, Berlin, that you guys went to last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was
a good track.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah,
you were there for that
bit by the bug. I got bit by the bug when I was a little kid.
Cool.
Never really
so now
went,
you went
to the big track until down the road, mm-hmm. but.
Gotcha. All right, so, but you did go to Michigan and National Speedway this weekend. So what was the first thing that you did when you got to the Speedway?
We set up our tent. And then we went over to the airport, which was kind of a bust, but it wasn't too bad. We probably should have went to the Dream Cruise. Sounds like you guys had a pretty good time over there.
Yeah, we really did. That was a really cool deal. I liked it. So you set up in the campgrounds. You stayed in the campgrounds all weekend long.
Yeah, we stayed at Earnhardt Acres, which is not camping. It's actually a family-owned campground.
Okay.
Just outside of turn 4.
So all right.
Pretty much right across the street. Pretty cool place.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of trees for shade because it's definitely hot in August in Michigan.
That was
so
true.
That
I was
pretty good.
Pretty warm up there myself. I was expecting to still see some snow melting, but But yeah, it was pretty warm up there, I got to say. I brought like a sweater and everything, and I only needed it like at night. But yeah, no, I hear the campgrounds at Michigan International Speedway are pretty good and a lot of fun. What do you think of them?
I think you pretty much hit it right there. I mean, Roger Curtis, the track president, he tries to get out and he goes around to all the campsites and checks on everybody, sees how they're doing, and he's a pretty hospitable track president,
nice.
I would say.
That's
definitely
awesome.
A good
setup. So, describe some of like the cool setups that you saw there.
Oh boy, I would say, well, out front of the racetrack, they have quite a bit going on. They had a little go kart track for the fans.
Some of the cool setups that were in the campground.
Oh, in the campgrounds. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Some of the stuff you can't even talk about.
Some of the stuff is
not good. The place we stay at, they have a rock and roll band on Friday and Saturday night, so it gets pretty crazy.
Nice. Cool. I'll definitely have to check that out next year.
You see a lot of nice cars and big pickup trucks and pretty cool golf carts riding around and pretty much just one big giant party.
I love it.
And
sounds
much
great.
Anything goes at Michigan Speedway.
I like that even more. So you had
Definitely.
Access to the garages all weekend long. What do you think of the garages at Michigan International Speedway?
No, I think it's pretty good. It could use a few tweaks here and there, but other than that, not too bad.
Like what?
They probably could use a little bit more of a, I don't know how I would put it. Like, the facilities aren't the greatest. There's, like, one bathroom down there for everybody in the garage area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
I remember that.
In the cup garages, that's not
yeah.
the greatest. But they're getting
yeah,
there. They got a few things they've done for the fans. Like
mm-hmm.
they've made like a viewing area, which that's pretty nice. I think they could make it a little bit better. Kind of maybe like, I think maybe reconfigure how the garages are. Make it a little more accessible for just the regular race fan.
Because mm-hmm.
pretty much you got one side of the garage area
mm-hmm.
that the regular fans can see. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe a better viewing area for the fans. It is pretty nice, though, to have the red carpet rolled out for Sunday. And
well, that's
they
cool.
can watch the drivers go to the media center before the race.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty packed on both sides of the red carpet. And a lot of guys stopped and signed autographs for the fans.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah,
that's cool.
I'd say, you know, it's pretty decent compared to other tracks.
Gotcha. So what are some of the drivers that you met this weekend?
What's that?
Who were some of the drivers that you met this weekend?
Oh, boy. I think we pretty much met most all of them. I would say, I think J.J. Yaley was a pretty cool guy. He stopped and talked to us for about 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a pretty cool guy. I like him.
A lot of the guys down in the truck garage,
mm-hmm.
they were pretty fun. Actually, your guest last week was at
Garrett,
the restaurant
yeah.
we went to after the race.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he did all right. He really did. He did pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They were they were pretty excited.
Yeah, yeah. He's really been wanting this for a long time. I'm really happy for him. So I'm hoping that he keeps going and gets all the way to the top. So he really wants to do this. But anyway, where did you wind up watching the races from?
We actually watched the races from Pit Road.
Cool. Is that both races you were there on Pit Road?
Yeah, we just kind of walked up and down Pit Road and looked for a spot with some shade because it's so
gotcha.
Hot. You don't want to stand out in the sun too long.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much just kind of picked where we wanted to go. whose pit stops we wanted to watch. And
mm-hmm. Well, that's really cool. Yeah, so it sounds like you got a good variety of everything and got to kind of check everything out. Did you actually?
Yeah, we sure did.
Good. Did you have a chance to get to the outside of the track and see what was going on up there? Now, like, I know that the souvenir halls are gone and that Fanatics tent is up. Did you have a chance to go check that out? Yeah, what's that like?
We sure did. Yeah, it was different, I got to tell you.
Uh-huh.
It seemed kind of, there's a lot of variety, a lot more than just when the haulers were there.
Okay.
It's only so big of an area, and you can only fit mm-hmm. so many haulers in there, and half of them have probably been junior haulers. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, they had a lot of selection for women, kids,
mm-hmm.
different drivers.
How big was the Fanatics tent?
Oh, it was huge. You know, actually, it was more like a... It was actually like a tent on one side and then
uh-huh.
a tent on the other side. And then kind of like a courtyard type thing in the middle.
Wow.
And then off to the side, they had another tent, which was the checkout area.
So this place is huge.
I would say it is humongous.
Nice.
I couldn't tell you measurement-wise, but yeah.
So now, I've heard that the Fanatics, I heard that they have merchandise available to, like, some drivers and teams who didn't necessarily have, like, their own souvenir holders in the past. Did you kind of see anything like that? And if so, like, who? What kinds of stuff did they have in there?
I seen pretty much hats and shirts from a lot of the underfunded teams that normally wouldn't be there with their stuff to sell.
Really?
I remember seeing an Alex Bowman hat.
Really?
And,
okay, good.
And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool. Huh.
They actually did have a Keselowski hauler set up outside of there.
Okay.
But other than that, there might have been a Joey Logano hauler next to that, and that was it.
Now, was it
pretty much everything else? Yeah, everything else was inside of that Fanatics tent.
Did any of the other teams have their souvenir holes there as well?
Not that I seen.
Okay, it must have been a Penske thing.
Just the Penske.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Yeah,
nice.
I think they're heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people were upset that the haulers were going to go away, and they didn't really like the tent, the idea of the tent. So it's going over pretty well, you would say, right? The tent is a pretty good idea?
I think it is. I think you get a lot more stuff than, you know, in the hauler, you only have so much space.
Gotcha.
And in the
tent, cool.
they had helmets, they had hats, T-shirts. You name it, you could buy pretty much anything there.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Nice. Well, I'll definitely have to check that out the next time I get up there. So what else was set up in the outfield?
I'm sure it'll be coming to the next track.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think this is, they'll be going to everything one now. But what else was set up in the outfield? Any cool other things, anything else set up out there?
They had the kids zone, which... That was always packed. They had Monster Energy dirt bike riders doing backflips and
cool.
All sorts of cool tricks.
They had anything set up for kids?
Yeah, they had a big giant playland for kids with bounce houses and all that good stuff.
Nice, cool.
They had a little go-kart track set up out there. They had... Mob Steel had a thing out there, and they're out of Detroit, and they're going to be fixing up old cars in Detroit and bringing them back to life, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice. Well, it sounds like there's a lot, you know, there's a lot going on out there that keeps fans entertained and having fun outside of the speedway. So that's good to hear, you know, considering how much of a struggle it is to get the fans to the track these days. But speaking of which, did you happen to notice how full the grandstands were for both races? How was that?
I would say for as hot as it was, there was a lot of people there.
Oh, good.
A lot more than I expected, especially on Sunday. Sunday, it was, I would say they were probably 85% full on Sunday.
Yeah, I can't complain with that. That's okay.
That's pretty good, though. Saturday,
yeah.
I'd say maybe they were 50% full, mostly on the main grandstand. They had pretty good turnout for it being a truck race.
So, in your opinion, what would you say some of the best features about Michigan International Speedway are?
Say the best things about Michigan Speedway, definitely the camping. That's pretty much the only way you can go to Michigan is to camp. J.J. Yaley said it was the school bus capital of the world. Pretty much most of the people on the infield have a school bus.
Okay.
They have it all painted up, like their favorite driver's car.
That's cool.
I would
that
say the
cool.
infield is definitely where the big party's at.
Very cool. Very good.
Just nice, relaxing, fun, pretty much. I mean,
cool.
I've been to some places, and it's just
what
such
other tracks
a big,
have you been
wide
to?
Open. Oh, Daytona, Charlotte, Bristol, Talladega, Martinsville, Richmond, Chicago, Indianapolis. You go to a lot of those tracks, and you don't really have the room to move around. Michigan, you got a little bit of room to move around.
Gotcha.
Such a
cool.
big track out in the middle of nowhere. That's
a lot
enough.
Of them are. But that's good. So was there anything about Michigan that, you know, you didn't like or wish, you know, they had compared to other tracks that you've attended?
Like I said, the garage area, I think they could make that a little more accessible for regular fans. But I think other than that, the grandstands are great.
Cool.
There's a pretty good view from everywhere. I would say.
Speaking of the grandstands, I actually got this. I didn't go to Michigan Speedway, but I did get to sit in the grandstand, the Michigan grandstands at Toledo. They had a couple of the grandstands from Michigan when I visited Toledo. So I did sit in the grandstands, the Michigan grandstands, I guess I could say. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
Did take down. What's that?
No, go ahead. What were you saying?
Go ahead. I was just going to say they took down a bunch of grandstands, and they made that an RV campground, so you could see the track from your RV over there in turn 3 and 4.
Nice.
So that's
nice.
Another good thing that they've done at Michigan Speedway.
The grandstands that they did take out, I mean, they definitely got a good home over at Toledo, and I think they sent a couple of them somewhere else, too. I don't remember where they said that.
Some of them ended up at Watkins Glen, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Sure
I think you're right. I think that's what I heard. Yeah. Cool. Well, did you have a chance to check out, like, any of the concession stands this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, yeah? Okay. So
say,
what was the food, you know, prices, selection, what they have, and how much was it?
Well, I think the best thing that I had was they had a pork loin sandwich. And that, I think that was $8, and it had coleslaw, and it was citrus barbecue. That was pretty good. They got your regular pizza, hot dogs, French fries, all that good stuff.
Cool.
It was pretty decently priced for racetrack food.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
I think
good.
The most expensive thing was the bologna sandwich, but it was well worth the $8.
Okay, good. I mean, that's like a big question that I get asked now, like, you know, what's going on in the concession stands, what kind of food do they have, how much does it cost? And then everybody starts to, like, compare it. So that sounds good. It sounds like it's right in the ballpark of being decent. So that's good.
Yeah, they try to make it.
Go ahead.
No, they try to make it decent for the fans, and they always try to bring something new. So this year, the pork loin sandwich is the new thing that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they're paying attention when it comes to that.
Good. Good deal. Now, are you planning on going to any of the NASCAR races this year?
I sure hope so, but I don't know if my wife's going to allow that.
Aw.
to the first race in the Chase at Chicagoland, we usually try to make that every year.
Gotcha. Cool.
That's always a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not too
far
from
home. Chicago.
It takes us about 3 hours to get there from where we live.
That's not bad at all. That's like around the corner from me. I'm used to a lot of long driving too now. And now if it's like 12 hours away, I'm like, oh, it's nothing. No big deal. 12 hours, no big deal. But yeah, this will actually be the first weekend that I get to stay home I think a month or so. So yeah, it'll be good to stay home and do that. Yeah.
That sounds like winter to me.
Yeah. So now I know that you like to get autographs and the hero cards and all that. And you have a pretty unique system, so why don't you tell me about that?
Oh, boy. Well, we have a bunch of postcards. We have them all in file cabinets from A to Z. And when we get ready to go to the racetrack, we go through the file cabinets and start at A and end at Z, and we try to bring something for everybody. You never know who you'll see. It takes quite a while to pack them up, but it's well worth it.
Absolutely. So now, real quick, I heard that you got a really nice surprise when you found out that a really cool picture that you took a while ago with the King, Richard Petty, is actually hanging up on a large mural in the Petty Motorsports Race Shop here in North Carolina. How did you find out about that, and, you know, what was your reaction when you actually saw it hanging on the wall?
Well, it made my day, because I didn't have any idea.
How'd you find out about it?
A friend of mine, he actually, I've only met him through going to the racetrack, and he pretty much does the same thing we do, 20 minutes away from where I live, but I actually met him at the Michigan Speedway, and a friend of his that does the same thing went to North Carolina and was looking for a job and putting in his resume at a bunch of shops, and he walked in Richard Petty Motorsports, and there I was on the wall.
That's awesome.
Took a picture of it, and he sent it to his good friend Todd and said, hey, don't we know this guy? And then, the next time I seen him at the racetrack, he showed me the picture, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, you got to be kidding me. It's about four feet by 5 feet, maybe.
It's big. It's over the whole wall. Now, are you going to come down to North Carolina and come see that in person?
I sure hope so. I asked Dale Inman, who used to be Richard Petty's crew chief, and I seen him this weekend, if that picture was on the wall, and he said, yeah, that picture's on the wall.
Cool.
I said, if you guys ever get rid of that, I said, just set it out by the dumpster and I'll come pick it.
He's not going to get rid of it. Crazy. Your phone's kind of breaking up.
Are you there?
Yeah, that's better. That's better. What were you saying now?
All right. He said they didn't have any money for renovations, so I said the picture should be there for a while.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, you got to come down. That would be really cool to have a picture of you standing next to that picture of you and the King. I mean, God, and you know I have to be there if you do this. I have to be there, so if you let me know, that would be great.
Yeah, I showed King Richard the picture. He got quite the laugh out of it.
Oh, that's so cool. Well,
yep.
Cool. So,
sure. So, yeah, that was quite the weekend.
Nice.
Really,
that's awesome.
Really a hot weekend. Then we got rained on Friday. Came down in buckets. That was fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all in all, we had a great time.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, when you say that you you camp in the campground with a tent, you mean a tent, right? You don't have, like, an RV or anything like that, right? You're an actual tent.
Yeah, we're in a tent. And we don't have an air conditioner in our tent. We don't have a real bed. It's an air mattress.
Oh, boy, you are roughing it. Wow.
We're roughing it. No, no power.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And,
really?
What? The good thing is we got trees for shade.
Oh,
we got trees for shade. But then when it started storming, you didn't really want to be under the trees.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how you did it.
We jumped in the truck and went down to the grocery store just down the road, and we rode out the storm down there.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
We came back, and our tent had one little leak in it. So we lucked out pretty good.
All right. Not too bad. Good.
Yeah.
So, Sean, how can people connect with you on social media?
Only on Twitter, at NASCAR Woohoo. No Facebook for me. I can hardly keep up with Twitter. That's pretty much all I do. Race Fans Rock, I'm on there.
Yeah, I was going to say. I seen that you joined racefansrock.com, and, thank you for doing that. Now, I know that you had a sign-in issue, and we resolved that, so that's good. So since that's all taken care of, is everything working with Race Fans Rock okay for you, and what do you think of it?
I think it's great. It probably works great, but I'm probably not the greatest guy to work it. I can navigate a little bit. I've been on there. Checking out some of the stuff on there, reading what people have to say, and
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
we got a lot more to come for it. I got a lot
it's
more
definitely
planned
something
for it
that I can see taking off.
Yeah. Like I said, we've
a
got
lot
a lot more planned for it.
There.
We just gotta kind of work out some of the bugs and some of the things that we want to put on. It's just taking a little bit longer for us to be able to do that with the background stuff that we got to do for it. And it's all like kind of, my web guy says it's all about coding and it's not nailing. So he says, it can be done. It's just going to take some time. So I'm like, okay,
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's we're getting there. It's a work in progress. Cool.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Sean, I'm really glad to hear that you had a good time at Michigan. And, your pictures were great. I didn't have a chance to post them up on my website just yet, but I will do that very soon. You did a great job as my dedicated fan of the Stand Reporter, so for that, thank you very, very much. And I want to thank you again for coming on the show.
Well, I want to thank you guys for having me on the show and having me as the dedicated fan of the stands.
Absolutely. Cool. Anytime.
All right.
All right. Well, Sean, you guys have a good night, and give that cat, Prince Harry, the pet on the head for me.
I will do that. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. You take care.
Bye-bye.
There goes another one of my happy dedicated fan of the Stand Reporters. Now, if you want to be one of my future dedicated fan of the Stand Reporters at an upcoming NASCAR race this year, connect with me and tell me which race you plan on going to and give me a reason why I should pick you, and just maybe I will. If I do, I'll send you some garage passes and I'll send you to the track on a mission. As you see, you'll be helping me and a lot of other race fans stay updated all weekend long by giving us the inside scoop from your perspective of what's going on in the track, and you'll have the best chances that you could possibly have of meeting and taking pictures with your favorite drivers while you have the best time you've ever had at the racetrack. And as you can see, that is no lie. All right, it's time for me to give a shout-out to my sponsor, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC. Now, Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, is a wealth and profitability company designed to help individuals and businesses manage their finances to help them not only grow their businesses, but improve their quality of life as well. And they've been a big supporter of this Race Fans Rock radio show, InfieldGen.com, and a strong supporter of Brian Keselowski Motorsports. And they're a huge supporter of RaceFansRock.com, my social community dedicated to racing and everyone in it. Now, Highland Wealth Advisors LLC has helped thousands of their clients achieve the lifestyle that they've always wanted, and they've provided them with the peace of mind and the kind of financial stability that they were looking for. Highland Wealth Advisors LLC can help you live the good life too. So for more information and to schedule your consultation, contact them, tell them Infield Gen sent you, and visit www.highlandwealthny.com today. That's highlandwealthny.com. Now, if you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina, or any of the surrounding areas, your house or your office is a freaking mess, don't worry about it. Just call Tate's Cleaning Services, and they will get your home or office back in tip-top shape and smelling great really quickly. I mean, there really is no job that they can't handle. It's not too big, too small. It's not too disgusting. Trust me, I am talking from experience here. You know, we've got the three dogs in my house here, and, you know, we've been traveling a lot, and they've helped us out tremendously. So, you know, the hound dogs only look low maintenance. They're really stinky little rag dolls, but Tate's Cleaning Services has really helped us out, keeping everything looking and smelling good. Tate's Cleaning Services is fully licensed and insured, and like I said, they clean residential homes and commercial buildings and offices. You can find them on Facebook, / Tate's Cleaning Services, that's T-A-T-E-S, Cleaning Services, or you can email them at northcarolinamade@gmail.com, or you can even give them a call at 763-269-1919. Make sure you tell them Infield Gen sent you, you'll get a discount. They're the best at what they do, and you will not be disappointed with their results, trust me. All right, now I'd like to open up the phone line and talk to some people who are really big race fans who want to just explain just how big of a race fan they really are. So the phone lines are open. It's 713-955-0744. Again, that's 713-955-0744. Call in and, you know, we'll tell me why you're a race fan. Oh, by the way, last week I spoke with Garrett Smithley, who raced this past weekend at Michigan International Speedway, and we were talking about it a little while ago. He was in the number 63 Segpay Mittler Brothers machine, machine and tools Chevrolet. And I'm happy to say, you know, he really did well. He started in 19th position, and he finished in 14th place. So not a bad finish at all for Garrett, who's learning the ropes and working his way into a full-time ride. So congratulations, Garrett, on a top 15 finish at a really fast track, and that's not really easy to drive around. You did really good, and I can't wait to see what else happens for Garrett down the road. He's definitely living the dream. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, I'm still waiting for somebody to call in, but, hey, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to talk to you a little bit now about RaceFansRock.com. We mentioned it a little while ago on the show. It's my social community. It's dedicated to racing and everyone in it, and that means you. It's designed for race fans, drivers, teams, members of NASCAR, ARCA, and every member of the media to come together and interact on one amazing social community. You can join right now for free, and it's really user-friendly, and it's familiar because we've combined the best social media like Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. We put it all together. We post cool and informative information on it every single week. We give away prizes to certain kinds of interactions. And like I said, we have a lot more stuff on the way. It's really easy to stay connected to social media like Facebook and Twitter because we've integrated them right into the website. You can post directly to Facebook and Twitter when you post to Race Fans Rock. Plus, we took it one step further with the complete Twitter integration. So when you connect your Twitter account to Race Fans Rock, you're going to see your entire Twitter feed on Race Fans Rock. And you can tweet, favorite, quote, retweet, do it all from Race Fans Rock, and it all gets posted straight to Twitter. The site launched on April 6th, and I checked out the stats just before the show. And we are well over 172,000 page views and interactions since that launch date. So it tells me that, you know, when our members sign on to Race Fans Rock, they stay on there, and that's really, really cool. So it's a site that race fans and the racing community is definitely going to enjoy spending their time on, and it's so far so good. It's proven already. So it's definitely giving them everything they want on a race-related site. Our featured fan of the week is Tiffany Zornow. So if you want to check out Tiffany's page, you can click on her picture on the homepage and add her as your friend on Race Fans Rock. Next week's featured fan could be you, but you've got to join today. We have a caller on the line. Hey,
hey
caller.
Jen,
who's this?
Doing good.
Who's this? Hi, Dan.
Hey,
thanks for calling
in.
I'm doing all right. So, Dan, what makes you a really big race fan?
Well, I'd watch NASCAR here and there growing up. And then when I was a youngin', and then back in 99, I'd done security here locally at the track in Phoenix. And I caught the bug the first day, and then 2001, I started buying tickets the following year, started camping, and in those years, there's only been one race weekend that I missed, because I went to a country music festival, my second time off in July, so.
Gotcha. So what track do you go to?
Phoenix International Raceway here in Arizona.
Cool. I got to go there one time so far. I'd love to head out that way again. Did you ever get to go into the garages and stuff?
I've been in once or twice. I can't remember it. A lot of times I bought in the pit passes because, you know, they're about $50, $60 depending on if it's a spring or fall race here. And
gotcha.
You still get that huge opportunity to try and catch a driver's autograph or maybe even perhaps a crew chief.
Gotcha. So which drivers have you met?
I've met, let's see, J.J. Yaley, who's a local boy out of Phoenix. I came close to meeting Brian's brother, Brad.
All right.
But he got whisked away by the time I got up to him. I came close to Danica. I'm not a big fan of hers after seeing her shove somebody away, but you know, people change. People change. There's been David Ruderman back, I don't know, 8 years ago. It was like his first year when Domino's was sponsoring him. And the one that touched me the most was being able to meet Steve Burns back in 07.
Nice. Yeah. I've known Steve. I knew Steve. It was sad that we don't have him anymore. Really sad.
My wife and I were married out there 3.5 years ago.
At the Speedway?
Yes, ma'am.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I know now one of the ARCA officials that I know got married at Pocono a couple weeks ago, and he said it was pretty easy to kind of set all that up. How was it as far as setting up a wedding at Phoenix International Raceway? Was it easy to kind of do?
Well, I tried to get to where we can have it like infield or maybe Gatorade Victory Lane here. But what we ended up doing is some friends of ours who are going to be coming to the wedding got taught to some of their friends from their camping group that are there every race week. And more people got involved. We ended up having it in our campsite, and where we thought we'd have 50, 75 people, we have the tram line that goes through the two different divisions.
Mm-hmm.
And people were getting off, and we ended up in the neighborhood of 250 to 300 people in attendance.
Oh, that's cool.
For the wedding.
Very cool. Well, that's memorable. And I'm sure you've got great pictures of it.
Oh, I got some awesome pictures. Very awesome pictures.
Nice. Cool. Feel free to send me those pictures, and I'll post them all up. That would be great.
Sounds awesome.
All right, cool.
I enjoy the show, and
thank you.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You have a great
night. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's cool. Getting married at the track. I just don't think it's ever going to happen for me, but that's another point. I won't get into it. Hey, I got another caller on the line. Hey, caller, who's this? Hello?
Hello, Jen.
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
This is Joe Ed.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
We're doing just fine. How are you doing? Well, welcome
to
radio.
I'm doing good. Thank you. I'm glad. Thanks for calling in. Now, we know each other. You're not really a fan. You're more of a worker. So what have you been up to real quickly?
Well, I've been around the sport for probably 50 years or close to it.
Yeah.
I've worked with a lot of NASCAR teams. Been with AJ Foyt. Grew up in Houston, HB Bailey. Worked with David Starr for a while, and worked with, matter of fact, with Brian and Bob Kozlowski. Been around the block, showing my age, I guess, and kind of got out for a little while. Getting right back into it again in October. Got a young gentleman, 17 years old, that's going to run his first race at Martinsville.
Nice.
Young man named Brandon Hightower. He's going to be working for Mittler Brothers Racing. Also, teammate will be Bobby Pierce. They ran at Eldora not too long ago, and Bobby put the truck number 63 on the pole and finished second. Got beat by another team that was called Kyle Busch, but the kid did pretty good. I call him kid because I'm old, but anyway, we're looking real forward to it. We're going to run some late model races with Wallace's son, Matt Wallace, starting in September, and run a few late model races next year and hopefully some affinity races and run a full season in the Camperwell Series. We're really looking forward to it, and I don't have to drive the hauler no more and go over the wall.
That's
good. Get too old for that. They made me a team manager, so I'm getting a new job, I guess.
Well, there you go. Well, that's good. Well, definitely keep me in mind, you know, when you've got to promote your drivers, you know, think of me, and if I could do anything to help you guys out, absolutely, you know.
Well, you know,
definitely
we will.
Get on the show sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. Cool, very cool. Well, good luck with all that. I hope it'll, you know, I know it'll work out. You guys, you know what you're doing, so. And Mike Mittler is a great guy, so yeah, he's good. You're in good hands. Very good. Cool.
He is. Just about all of his drivers have made it to Cup. Carl Edwards and Justin Allgaier. Even Brad Kozlowski's came through his stables, and you see where Brad is. So we're hoping everything works the same way with his new drivers.
Now, I don't see why it wouldn't. And he's got a pretty cool name, Hightower. I think that's pretty catchy.
It is.
Good. Well, yeah, definitely add to the media list, and we'll get that out there. What were you saying?
I was going to say, Brandon, he's his name, Hightower. He's from Louisiana, so I guess he'll be the first NASCAR driver to be from Louisiana. I can't really think of anybody down that way, so that's kind of something new.
Yeah, that's good. Does he have the accent?
A little bit.
Okay. That might be different.
I know they can do some real good cooking for his food in that area, so I'm looking forward to that myself.
All right, well, make sure you invite me to those races.
Well, you know we will. We'll have to bring up some people that know how to cook Cajun food from down there, because I'm a favorite of some of Louisiana cooking.
Yeah, I've always heard it's pretty good. Never actually had it authentically, but I'm willing to try. Sounds good.
We'll hook you up. I guarantee you that, as they say.
Awesome. First race with him is Martinsville. Are you planning on doing any other races this year with him?
We're going to do Phoenix for sure, Martinsville. We can't run Daytona because he's only 17 years old, and you have to be 18. And then after that, we're going to run every race we can. We're looking to run a few Infinity Race Series next year. We're still going to run some late model with Matt Wallace. And he's running a lot of late model dirt and modified this year back his hometown of Louisiana and run in Texas. And pretty sure we're going to do that, too. We're going to have a full season next year.
Nice. So now when does he turn 18?
Turns 18 in March, so he'll miss Daytona.
Oh, man, that's so close, too. Oh, that's a shame. That's going to hurt. But
I know, but...
Yeah. Well, he could do the July race, no?
Well, yes. We're still going to try to be down here. Hopefully we run a Infinity Series with somebody and try to run that. We've still got Talladega, so that'll be something good, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, good. Cool. Well, yeah, I look forward to meeting him and getting to know him and talking about him on the show and on my social media. So definitely we'll make that introduction real soon, and we'll take it from there.
Sounds real good.
Awesome. All right, great. Well, good luck to you with the new job and all that. It sounds great, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you for having us on the show there. And, you know, my better half, Janet, says hello, and We'll come see sometime in Martinsville or before then.
Sounds good. I'm planning on being in Martinsville, too.
All right. Y'all have to come out and eat with us there.
Sounds good. We'll do.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
That's cool. Well, there we go. We have a new team starting up at Martinsville. Awesome. Any callers? The line is still open if anybody's out there. 713-955-0744. Call me up and tell me why you're a NASCAR fan. As we were saying before about RaceFansRock.com, it's got a lot of features and whatnot. Well, my favorite feature on RaceFansRock.com is the live chat rooms, and I have them set up for every driver in the top three series and then some. And I even have my own Infield Gen social sofa chat room, which I use when the races are happening live on TV and I'm in front of my TV actually watching it at home with others, you know. The conversations in the chat room are just a lot of fun. We talk about what's going on during the races in real time. And when things happen on the track, we are talking about it right away. And, you know, when the race is having some really good green, long green flag runs, you know, we can get a little off topic. We talk about, you know, where everyone's from and what they do. And, you know, it's just a good conversation. I've gotten away from posting those lap-by-lap results on Facebook and Twitter because it just takes too long, you know. You post it, they read it, then they got to think about what to say in response, and then you have to refresh your page to see what they said, and it just takes too long. I mean, by the time you do all that, you're 10 laps behind talking about essentially old news. So, you know, from now on, I'm in my live chat rooms when I can be during the races, and that's what I'm going to do from now on, you know, moving forward. We're going to be updating the chat rooms really soon, and once we do, you know, you're going to be able to post pictures in that chat room, and the conversation history will be able to be saved as well. So if you join the chat room, you'll be able to see what was said and jump right on into the conversation seamlessly. But, yeah, so we have some things going on with Race Fans Rock. Like I said, some of the stuff that goes on in the back end of it, it's just taking a little bit longer to kind of get it to where we need it to be. Some updates got to come out and things like that. But my web designer is on it. I have complete faith in him. And when he says it's ready to go, it's going to be ready to go. And he says it's going to happen soon. So now when you join any of the other driver chat rooms, you can instantly connect with other fans that like the same drivers as you do. And, you know, you never know when that driver will actually join his or her chat room and chat with you live. You know, if a driver does join Race Fans Rock, he or she is verified, so you know that you're not talking to an imposter. We have really strict guidelines on Race Fans Rock, and if you're not on there talking about racing, you're probably going to get a warning. And, you know, this isn't a dating site, so that kind of stuff isn't tolerated either. We don't accept those spammy kinds of accounts. You know, that won't be tolerated. As a matter of fact, we deleted some of those kind of accounts last week. But anyone can report any kind of negative behavior, and it'll be checked out and dealt with very quickly. So if you haven't joined Race Fans Rock already, go ahead and do it now or, you know, wait till after the show. It's easy and it's free and it's safe, you know. So, yeah, you will enjoy RaceFansRock.com. All right, moving on. So if you've been thinking about getting your feet wet in the motorsports industry, you know, a good way to go about it is to become a team sponsor. I mean, hey, you want to meet your favorite driver? Call him or her up and tell him that you want to give him some money and watch how quickly you get to meet them. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously. Becoming a sponsor is a great way to get yourself directly involved, and you can easily get on board as a sponsor with Brian Keselowski Motorsports. I've made it pretty simple to do so. Now, we definitely like to do one more ARCA race this year with Brian driving, and we're planning on Salem Speedway coming up on September 19th, and we're looking for some good people to partner with for that race. Now, we do have some sponsorships sold for that race already, but we do need a little more in order for us to actually be able to leave the shop and go to the track. So if you do sign up with us, just know that in addition to just having your decal on a race car or a patch on Brian's uniform, you know, we offer really attractive packages that include representation on both BrianKeselowski.com, InfieldGen.com, extensive social media awareness that includes Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, Periscope, YouTube, Tumblr, and more, as well as live commercials right here on the show. I mean, we could even include some VIP passes to an ARCA race or to a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race of our sponsor's choice. And, you know, I have my Infield Gen Race Fans Rock Highland Wealth Advisors fire suit, and I have a little bit of space left on there as well. And it'll just give me even more of a reason to wear it when I go to the track. Bottom line is we always strive to do more for our sponsors to a partnership so that it works for our sponsors and they get a good return. Now, working with our team is a really good opportunity for you to get the word out about your business or your product, your brand. You know, if you want to make an announcement, like, you know, happy birthday, happy anniversary, you know, even will you marry me? And you want to use our race car and our team as a unique way for you to do that and meet and create those memories, let me know and I'll make it happen for you. And just connect with me by email at infilljen@gmail.com. Now, aside from that, you know, we have a lot of other programs that, you know, will get race fans involved, and it helps us raise the funds that we need to go racing. But my Infield Gen fan sponsorship program, that's really helping us out. It's really doing it. My Infield Gen fan sponsorship program allows us to connect with race fans. It allows them to have the access to the NASCAR races that they're dying to go to. You know, it gives them the chance to meet all their favorite drivers while they're helping our team. Now, I started the program at the beginning of the year, and it's really, really caught on. I'm literally turning race fans into sponsors every single day, and I can do it for you too. Now, you could be considered a team sponsor for as little as $100. I bet you didn't know that. Yeah, well, based on the different packages that I have, our sponsors will receive a VIP pass or a few of them to a NASCAR Sprint Cup race of their choice for any of the races remaining in the 2015 NASCAR season. And that includes the chase races. So for more information, go to infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. I have it all written out, and I've posted a list of commonly asked questions with the answers, so you'll have all the information that you need right there to make that decision. Once you do, just contact me and tell me when I'll be turning you into a team sponsor, too. That's infieldgen.com/fan-sponsorship. Go check it out, and I'm telling you, you really never knew how easy it was for you to do this. Now, I customize packages as well, so if you want to see your company logo on a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series car, I mean, even if it's not Brian Keselowski's car on the track, I can make that happen for you, too, because, you know, I know these guys, and I know these team owners, and, you know, they'll work with me, so that'll help me hook you up. So if you'd like more information and sponsorship pricing about all that, you know, just shoot me an email. Again, infieldgen@gmail.com. All right. So now that the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Camping World Truck Series guys and girls have returned from the very fast Michigan International Speedway, and the NASCAR Xfinity Series has put the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course behind them, the next track that they're going to storm into is Thunder Valley. And I can only be talking about Bristol Motor Speedway. And it is the loudest track on the schedule. Now, word to the wise, if you are planning on going to Bristol this weekend, make sure you bring ear protection. The first time I went there, I didn't, and that was stupid of me. And I did not have earplugs, and I was deaf for weeks. I'm not even joking. So don't make the same mistake that I did. It was a pain. Just make sure you have ear protection. All right, it's time to find out who's who, who's in it, and who's driving what this weekend. Starting with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, there's 34 trucks on the entry list for Wednesday night's UNOH 200 at Bristol Motor Speedway. We have Cole Custer in the 00, Caleb Rourke in the 0, Ryan Ellis has been added in the number one Hutch Chevrolet from Make Motorsports. That's the first time that this sponsor is actually making an appearance in this series, and we wish them a lot of luck. Dalton Sargent is in the number 5. Ryan Blaney is in the number 29 for Brad Keselowski Racing. Ty Dillon is in the 31. J.J. Haley in the 32. Tyler Tanner has been added in the 36. Travis Quappel will pilot the number 50. Daniel Suarez will be in the number 51. Kyle Busch in the 54. Clay Greenfield will pilot the number 68. Caleb Holdman will be in the number 75. He still uses a flip phone. I can't. Brandon Brown is in the number 86. Charles Buchanan is in the 87. And David Gilliland pulling double duty in the number 92. The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series UNOH 200 is set to start on Wednesday, August 19th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's aired on Fox Sports 1. All right, moving on to the NASCAR Xfinity Series. There's 40 cars on the entry list for Friday's Food City 300 at Bristol Motor Speedway. Now, Brad Teague will be in the number 13. Rick Ware's number 15 still doesn't have a listed driver, but I'm sure that they're going to figure it out before the green flag drops tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night, Friday night. Denny Hamlin will be in the number 20 for JGR. Ryan Blaney is in the number 22 for Team Penske. Hermie Sadler will give up the microphone for the steering wheel and drive the JGL number 26. Good luck, Hermie. Brandon Jones returns to the number 33 for RCR. Kyle Busch is in the 54, pulling triple duty this weekend. Ben Gordon and the 66 team will be making another appearance this weekend. It's pretty cool. Now, this weekend's NASCAR Xfinity race is part of the Dash for Cash races. Now, Dash for Cash is a one-of-a-kind incentive that rewards the highest finishing eligible driver in four designated races. To win the bonus, the winner of the Dash for Cash bonus must only be the highest finisher of the four fellow competitors. And they are Regan Smith, Ryan Blaney, Elliott Sadler, and Daniel Suarez. Now, Regan Smith won the first round by taking the checkered flag at Dover International Speedway, and again in the Xfinity Series race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Regan finished an overall third and seventh, respectively, in those races. The Food City 300 is the third installment of the $100,000 bonus payout. That must be nice. The final Dash for Cash race takes place September 5th at Darlington Raceway, but the Food City 300 is set to start this Friday evening, August 21st, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be aired on NBCSN. All right, moving on to the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. The entry list for the Sprint Cup Series Irwin Tools Night Race, it shows 46 teams and drivers for only 43 spots, which means three teams will be packing it up and heading home after qualifying. We're going to see Ryan Blaney in the 21 for Wood Brothers, Travis Kropel in the 30, Josh Wise will drive the number 32 again for Go Green Racing, Alex Kennedy will be in the number 33 for Circle Sport Racing, Reed Sorensen remains in the 62, Michael McDowell will pilot the number 95, and Timmy Hill will handle the number 98. Drivers who need to be in the top 36 in speed and have no provisionals available to them, which means that they're the lowest in the owner's points, are Travis Kropel in the number 30, who's 49th in points. We got Reed Sorensen in the 62, who's 46th in points, and Jeb Burton in the 26th, who's 44th in points. So the drivers who would miss the race if qualifying is canceled because they have the least amount of race attempts would be Travis Kropel in the 30 with only 8 attempts, Ryan Blaney in the 21 with only 11 attempts, and Michael McDowell in the number 95 with only 13 attempts. Irwin Tools Night Race is set to start on Saturday night, August 22nd at 7:30 p.m. with coverage on NBCSN. Now, if you're not at the track this weekend and you're not able to catch the action, that's okay. Just grab a seat with me on my social sofa in my live social sofa chat room on racefansrock.com. Keep in touch with me and continue sending me your questions and requests all week long. Find me on racefansrock by simply typing Infield Jen in the search box and make sure you add me as your friend. You can still connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/InfieldGenFanpage and facebook.com/RaceFansRock. Follow me on Twitter at InfieldGen. And I'm also on Instagram, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr now. Just joined Tumblr a little while ago, actually a couple weeks ago. I'm on Pinterest, Periscope, and whatever else is out there is InfieldGen. Make sure to visit my website, InfieldGen.com, on a daily basis to check out all the latest news, pictures, videos, race results that includes all practice sessions, qualifying sessions, and final race results, complete with race notes, penalty reports for every race. Make sure you also check out my new blog posts, cool fan stories, post-race audio interviews straight from the media centers at each and every racetrack we go to, different teams' press releases that I post all the time, photos from my dedicated fan of the stand reporters every weekend, and so much more. I post so much stuff on that website. So go check it out. See what you missed, and get all caught up. It's right there on InfieldGen.com. Then, you know, don't forget, show some love, click over my merchandise tab, and get yourself some InfieldGen gear. I got some really cool T-shirts. I think you'll like them. So go check it out. Well, I am out of time for tonight's show. Wow, that went quick. I want to thank my awesome, dedicated fan and the stand reporter, Sean Ogden, for coming on the show. And I want to thank all the race fans who, you know, called in tonight, and Joey Bauer, who for calling in and sharing his good news about his new team. I want to thank all the race fans who allowed me to turn them into sponsors this week, and a huge shout-out to Highland Wealth Advisors, LLC, for their continued support. Thanks to Tate's Cleaning Services to help me keep a clean home, and to each and every one of you guys tuned in. I hope you guys all enjoy this weekend's races in Thunder Valley, also known as Bristol Motor Speedway. Now, if you're going to go to any of the tracks this weekend, if you're going to go to Bristol, feel free to send me some of those awesome pictures that you take, whether you're in the garage or you're in the stands. Send them to me so I can see how much fun you're having, and I'll post them all up on InfieldGen.com under the Fan Central section. I keep posting on that website. Thanks once again for tuning in tonight, and you know, we're going to get to do this again next Tuesday evening. Till then, you guys have a great week, and I'll catch up with you again right here, same day, same time. And remember, everyone, RaceFansRock.com. Good night.